thee. But God, my woes were at an end, thy joys that hide my sea.
Page 136, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, imploring Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your punishment, now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God to all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Introit. Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers have risen up against me. They have not set God before them. Behold, God is my helper. The Lord is with those who uphold my life. He will repay my enemies for their evil. Cut them off in your truth. He has delivered me out of all trouble. And my eye has seen its desire upon my enemies. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Save me, O God, by your name, and vindicate me by your strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. O Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We praise you, we bless you, we worship you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. O Lord God, Heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy. Who takes away the sin of the world, receive our prayer. Who sits at the right hand of God the Father, have mercy. For you only are holy, you only are the Lord. You only, O Christ, with the Holy Spirit, are most high in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that being ever mindful of the end of all things and the day of your just judgment, we may be stirred up to holiness of living here and dwell with you forever hereafter. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the second last Sunday in the church year is from the 7th chapter of Daniel. I watched till thrones were put in place and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain and its body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancients of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. This is the word of the Lord. He shall call to the heavens from above, and to the earth that he may judge his people. Let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. The epistle reading is from the 3rd chapter of 2 Peter. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens which are now preserved by the same word are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. This is the word of the Lord.
Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." Then he will also say to those on his left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Page 141, the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Our sermon text is from 2 Peter 3, verse 4. The scoffers are saying this: where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. St. Peter acknowledges in today's epistle that there will be scoffers. Now, he's not talking about members of the congregation. He is specifically speaking of those unbelievers outside the congregation who are making fun of the Christians' belief that the Lord will return on the last day and that the world will come to an end. By their scoffing at our belief, it has led some members of the congregation to question those articles of the faith. The words in today's epistle are designed to answer the charge of these scoffers and to shore up the believer's faith. St. Peter begins by quoting the words of the scoffers they have a twofold complaint. So, let's take a look. The first part of the complaint is this. Where is the promise of his coming? So your Lord promised that he would return, did he? Where is he? It's been quite a while since he ascended up into heaven. And didn't he say to you that he was coming soon? Wouldn't he have returned by now? Now, at the time of St. Peter's epistle, it had been approximately 35 years since Christ's ascension. And the early Christian church thought that their Lord would return in their lifetime. In fact, through his death and resurrection, all Old Testament prophecies had already been fulfilled. Jesus could have returned, if he had wanted to, already during their lifetime. Nothing would have prevented him, but as it turns out, he didn't. So year after year passed, more and more of the elderly Christians passed away, and the words of these scoffers made the Christians question. One, their mistaken idea that he would return in their lifetime, but more than that, it made them question Christ's return at all. Now, we might think it was silly. Silly that they were worried after only 35 years. Today, we stand at the point that it's been about 2,000 years and Christ hasn't yet returned. On the one hand, we might say to them, well, you ought to have a little more patience. On the other hand, these scoffers' complaints, well, would seem to have even more validity today, if we're talking about what seems like a long time. But either way, whether 35 years or whether longer, it is a long time. Well, from my perspective, if I were going to take a trip, if I took a trip to Oregon or Florida and then I didn't come back for, 3.5 weeks, yeah, you'd definitely be worrying. So what about if I was gone for 35 weeks or 35 years? Yes, it is a long time. The second part of the complaint is this. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. You Christians keep saying there's going to be an end. You act as if the sun and the moon and the stars are all going to fall out of the sky. But they just keep coming up and going down as always. You act as if there will be signs on the earth and roaring of the seas. But nothing has changed. Everything just continues on as it has since the creation of the world. There's not going to be an end, and Jesus is not coming back. Well, their complaint seems to ring true for us. You see, the seasons just keep on going, turning from summer to fall to winter to spring. The generations continue to pass. One generation dies and another generation marries and has kids. It does seem like everything remains the same. Even the supporters of climate change have trouble showing anything but consistency with very small variations, but it's the same. I mean, it's hard to be alarmed when it all looks and it all feels exactly the same. Though every generation makes big claims, yes, that for them it's never happened before. But we begin to wonder, right? Is it just the boasting of a mistaken memory? You and I have heard it, haven't we? Every day we walk to school through the snow, uphill, both ways. Yeah, maybe it's just the same as it was. Before we answer these complaints, the scoffers' complaints in which they dispute the last day and the second coming of Christ, St. Peter begins by letting us know what the motivation is of these scoffers. Once again, these are not congregational members that are scoffing, but these are unbelievers outside the congregation. St. Peter says in verse 3, the scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts. These scoffers are not impartially studying the Word of God in order to try to determine the truth. These scoffers have a dog in the race. Yes, they are leading immoral lives, and they are following their own sinful desires. They lust after another's spouse, and they act upon it. They covet another's property, and they seek to get it by stealing or maybe even by a way which only appears right, but it is wrong. You see, it would definitely be to their favor to make sure that the Lord does not return to find them living sinful lives. If the world is all there is, well, fine. Eat, drink, and be merry. You might as well do whatever you lust after, since the evolution of this world is just the result of chance. If there is no judgment day, what a great opportunity for them to fully live according to their sinful desires, without restriction, without consequence. When St. Peter responds in verse 5, he shows us the minds. What are they thinking? What is the minds of these scoffers? Peter says, for this they willfully forget that by the word of God. You see, yes, the scoffers know the facts full well. It's not that these scoffers need to be informed about how God created the world or that he will bring this world to an end. They already know the facts. They know it. And Peter says, they willfully forget it. It is in their best interest to forget that God made the world in six normal days. If they acknowledge a creator, then they will have to be a creature, his creature, and thus responsible to him for their actions. They can't claim that everything has been the same if they remember that the world was created around 4000 BC. They can't claim that everything is the same if they remember that all God's creatures were destroyed by a worldwide flood and then repopulated. They deliberately forget those things so that they can deny that there is a God who is going to bring this world to an end and judge all nations. So Peter lets us know their motivation and their mind, what they're thinking. St. Peter's reply includes more than just a simple deliberate forgetting of the accounts of the creation and the flood. St. Peter actually goes to the heart of the matter. He says, they, the scoffers, deliberately forget the word. Listen again to verse 5. It's not just forgetting, it's the word. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of water and in water, by which the world then existed, perished, being flooded with water. St. Peter's point is that the word of God brought about the creation of the world. God said, let there be, and there was. In verse 6, the word of God brought about the flood, which destroyed everything that lived on the face of the earth that was not in Noah's ark. And it is the same word of God which is going to bring to an end everything, this world as we know it. It is the promise-filled word of God that Jesus is going to keep when he returns on the last day as our king. So having unmasked the motivation and the mind of the scoffers, St. Peter returns his congregational members back to the focus, which is to be the word of God. The word of God is right and sure. The one who kept the word at the beginning will return at the end of time. The one who kept the word, his word to save Noah and his family by an ark, will return and has promised to save you. St. Peter says that we dare not forget the word of God. Our Lord Jesus has given us a promise to return on the last day, to be taken to be with him. He will keep that promise. Now, yes, we do know that there have been those who have died They've died before Christ's return, but death will not, well, put them at a disadvantage. When Christ returns, those who have died will rise from the dead, and we who are still alive will join with them. We will be changed, just as it mentioned in last week's epistle. In today's epistle, having mentioned that deliberate forgetfulness of these scoffers, St. Peter tells the believers, do not forget. St. Peter says in verse 8, but believers, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. So the scoffers forget, but you Christians do not forget that our Lord does not reckon time as we do. We are bound by time, but our Lord, well, is not. Our judgment of a long or a short period is based upon, well, our own longevity of our life. But our Lord is timeless. He is outside of space and time. For him, both 1,000 years and a day, about the same. Remember that. Having mentioned the motivation of the scoffers, St. Peter goes on to show us the Lord's motivation in this way. St. Peter calls us believers beloved. First of all, we need to know that God's motivation towards us is one of love. He loves us. He created heaven and earth so that he might make a place to put us in. He continues, well, to preserve his creation that he has made. Second, as the Lord saved Noah, the preacher of righteousness, and his believing family, so God will not treat the righteous the same as the wicked. Third, our Lord loves us so much that he will return in order to save us from his justice, from the destruction of the wicked. You see, we are beloved. Beloved because of his great love, and the Lord will keep his promise. The second motivation of our Lord, first is love, the second is faithfulness. St. Peter says that the Lord is not a slacker in regard to his promise. Jesus, he is not even one day late. The Lord is faithful. Faithful, and he will do what he says. On the last day, the Lord will gather all the believers in his Son, Jesus Christ, and he will declare that they are sheep, his sheep, in order that you might understand the forgiveness which he has imparted to us. The Lord will not bring up even one sin, not even one of the believers' sins on Judgment Day. St. Peter assures us that the day of the Lord will come, and so you can welcome it. Lord, come. You may say, though, hey, maybe it's been too long, but that is not so from our Lord's perspective. Having mentioned the mind of the scoffer, St. Peter goes on to tell us, what is in God's mind? As for the mind of the Lord, verse 9, St. Peter says, but he is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There is a good reason. A good reason why Jesus has not returned during the lifetime of the apostles. There is a good reason why he has not yet returned, even yet. Our Lord is holding off the last day. And, well, he is, from his perspective, delaying his return. Why? In order to give unbelievers time to repent so that they have time to come to faith. Once our Lord returns, the day of grace has passed. By his not returning during the past 2,000 years, there have been many who have come to faith through the preaching of the Word of God. You have come to faith, and so have I. Oh, thanks be to God for his love and his faithfulness. God's patience waited so that he might save you, and he might save me, and he might save as many as possible. He knows that on Judgment Day, these scoffers and all unbelievers will be called goats. They will be placed on his left. Why? They rejected the preaching of the word. They did not trust in our Lord's suffering and death for the forgiveness of sins. They accused our Lord of being a slacker, forgetting his promise. They were convinced that the world would just continue on endlessly. Our Lord does not desire the death of the wicked, but that he turn from his evil way and live. The conclusion of St. Peter's defense of Christ's return in the last day is found in verse 11. I quote, "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" You see, our Lord, loving and faithful Lord, has saved us freely by his grace. Our response is to hear the word of God and trust in it, that we might give thanks with our lips and with our lives. St. Peter says that we are to live in holy conduct and in godliness. Like our Lord, we are to love and to be faithful to others. We are to pray for our scoffers and enemies that they might come to repentance. We ought to be patient and long-suffering toward all sinners. Through faith in Christ, we have what the scoffers do not have. Verse 14 says, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless." Once again, take note, we are called beloved. We have received his word and trusted in his promise of forgiveness, and thus we have peace. What do we have? "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you since the foundation of the world." We know that there is a reason not even one of our sins will ever be mentioned on judgment day. We know the Lord's love and faithfulness. As Peter says, the sheep are without spot and they are blameless. We know that we are forgiven through faith in Christ, and thus we live according to his promise. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Page 143, the Offertory, "Create in Me," we stand.
"Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your Holy Spirit. Amen."
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that our King has blessed us with an inheritance, and it was secured by your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask that as a gracious God who has created us and giving us a living faith, that we would produce love even toward the least of Jesus' brothers. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord, warn those hypocrites who are mingled with your church that their deception will be made known on the last day. A person cannot despise God's word, cannot ignore the members of Christ's body, cannot be self-centered without being a cursed goat sent to eternal punishment. O Lord, comfort your beloved sheep, those who hear your word, who lovingly serve Christ's body and do good for others with that last day message concerning salvation through faith alone and the final separation of the good and evil, sheep and goats, the merciful and the unmerciful. Bless Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Arkansas, Pastor Randy Mole and Deacon Martin Jackson. Teach all pastors in Christ, our Bishop James, as well as our pastors Gary and Michael, that they should not be indifferent or grow weary in doing good, for Christ will surely come. Bless our Director Keeley, our cook, our staff. We ask that they would remain healthy, that our learning center, if it is your will, it may reopen this Thursday. Give us opportunity to teach the children that are entrusted to our care. Let us pray to the Lord. Bless our nation, its president, all who serve in government, that we who rejoice in your truth may be permitted, without restriction, to declare your glory and serve you. Give all public servants a love of that which is true and noble, that justice may be done, peace promoted, wealth protected, and mercy shown. For the soldiers, Marines, airmen, sailors, and special forces, especially Timothy, Danny, Jason, and Blake, for our police officers, Daniel and Alex, those who put their lives in harm's way in order to defend our freedom, we ask that you would protect them from danger and lift their spirits during times of trial. Let us pray to the Lord. Bless Carolyn, our shut-in, our elderly Violet and Verdell. Provide for the needs of Priscilla, Jade, Kevin, Linda, Rebecca, Victor and Marcia, Tony, Gary, Gibb, and Karen. Provide for the needs of our students, for Kara, Andrew, Eric, Jonathan, Kirsten, Alexis, Sarah, Benjamin, and Jacob. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we here remember the suffering and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Give thanks to the Lord, our God.
It is good and right so to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, We laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy,
holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord of heaven, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us.
O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
O Lord Jesus Christ, who said unto your apostles, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Regard not my sins, but the faith of your church, and grant unto her that peace in you, which is according to your will. Now receive the bread of heaven, call upon the name of the Lord. The body of our Lord Jesus, which was given for me, preserve my body and soul unto everlasting life. Amen.
Thank you.
give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.